Robin, hey, thanks for being here. Happy Father's Day to everybody, and glad you're here. Thanks again. Welcome. I'm the lead pastor here, and we are in a series called Recover, and it does seem like sometimes the things we want to change in our life is impossible. And just because it's impossible or it seems impossible, it doesn't mean that we want it to happen any less. When something seems impossible to me, it doesn't mean I don't want it to happen. It just means I don't think it'll happen. And then what I do is I start to resign myself to the fact that I'm never going to see it occur. And then pretty soon you just start to tell yourself, well, it really doesn't matter, but it really does matter. What is it that you used to believe could happen for you and it's slipping away? And it just seems like, no, that's, I'm never going to get that one. You know, get that out of my bucket list because it's never going to happen. And it's not working to just try to convince yourself it's okay. And it's the big idea this weekend. You can look in the notes. Jesus helps us believe everything is possible. And we're going to read a story about Jesus and this family and this dad on Father's Day and how he helps them adjust and remember that everything is possible with God. And so we're going to look at it in the Bible to give it some credibility. Let me read it to you. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. This is Jesus and three of his friends. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. And I wanted to ask the question, who do you know in your life that might just be a moment away from running to greet him? I mean, they're not with him now, but there's a wonder going on inside, and maybe you're the only one that knows it. Nobody else can see it. And the moment Jesus would show up, they would probably start to run to greet him. Someone's going to have to reveal that to them, but because a lot of times people have a wonder on the inside, but nobody knows it. And then the moment Jesus shows up, somehow they take off because there's a, like, they want to greet him. And so that's what's going on. And Jesus says, "What are you arguing about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who's possessed by a spirit that's robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "Oh, unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. And when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It's often thrown him into the fire, water, to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never end him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet. And he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." And so we have a story of this desperate dad and his son who has a problem in his family that's too big to handle. And, oh yeah, that's how families go. I mean, there's always problems in our families that we see and we're like, I can't handle this. This is just way too big for me to handle. I mean, there'll always be problems in your family that'll be bigger than you. You know, how's your family doing? What's going on in your family? What's happening right now? And you see it and you face it and you're like, I can't handle this. I can't do anything about this. I can't make a difference with this. And that's where this dad is. And he shows up to see Jesus. Jesus is gone. And don't you hate it when you finally humble yourself and you finally decide, okay, I'm going to take my problem to God now. And it seems like he's gone. It's like somehow the timing doesn't quite match. And it just seems like you're not connecting. Because there are those times that like you turn to God. It's like, whoa, it just feels like this moment happens and me and God are together. And then there's these other times you're like, hello, hello. I mean, there's like nothing happening. And so he shows up, he finally, okay, I'm going to go see Jesus, and like Jesus isn't there at all. And I hate it when I have to wait on God. You know, you're just like, you're waiting. And, you know, I'm like this father. You know, most dads think they're the solution. And so he doesn't just wait. I mean, he tries to do something. He gets to decide, well, you do something. Can you like do something about my problem? And when you're waiting on God, there's always a tendency to try to take your problems to someone else because God's not doing anything about it. And so like, well, maybe this person can help me with this problem in my family, or I'll go to this person in my family. And then nothing works. And here's why. Jot this note anywhere. Like, there's no substitute for Jesus. So he comes to see Jesus and things aren't clicking, so he goes elsewhere and there is no substitute. And then he finds that out. And where is Jesus anyways? He's on a camping trip. He's hiking. Because he has some problems of his own. And I know in this day and age of superheroes and Batman and Spider-Man and all the different video games that we play, there's the big superheroes. But Jesus isn't a superhero. He had problems. And we're catching him at a time that he has like a really big problem. He's been in his ministry for over 2 years and it's starting to wind down. And he's wondering, are the guys I'm with going to be able to take the church forward? And he sees that the cross is approaching. And that's a problem. You know, there's going to be a lot of suffering and there's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of people are going to be confused. And Jesus sees it all. He says, you know what? I think I'm going to go out into creation, because a lot of us, we get close to God in creation. And Jesus, he's a man. He's like, I think I'm going to go out into the mountains with my friends and hike around a little while and see if I can connect with God because I have a problem. So he does it. He takes Peter and James and John, his close friends, and they go out up on this mountain and they have this amazing encounter with God. We call it the Transfiguration. In fact, I brought a painting of it that Raphael did. This is the painting of the Transfiguration. And it's the whole backdrop of our story that we're looking at today. In fact, in this painting, there's like the whole thing. Let me tell you about it. Jesus is up on this hiking trip. They're up on this mountain. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah show up. Now listen, this is what that would be like. You're hiking with your friends up in the mountains and you take a little break and George Washington and Abraham Lincoln walk up and start chatting with your friend. Because these are like historical figures that come walking out of the history books up to Jesus and they're like alive now. And the disciples, they just tilt. They're like, no way. I mean, they've seen some crazy things with Jesus the last 2 years, but like now Moses and Elijah are there. And then this Jesus starts turning and glowing and getting all white. And they're just like, what in the world? And then this cloud comes down. It's the glory of the Lord. And they're watching all this. And out of the cloud, God says, this is my son who I love. Do you know even Jesus needed to hear that from God? I mean, he's got a big problem, man. He's like, the cross is right around the corner for me. And I'm not sure that everybody's been listening and everybody's ready to go. And God says, this is my son who I love. Listen to him. Right out of the cloud, God says, I love you and I have a purpose for your life. Maybe you need to hear just that. I love you. I have a purpose for your life. And Jesus hears that, and now he's ready to go. And he comes down off the mountain. At the bottom of the picture is all the disciples and the religious leaders, and there's the boy there with his dad. And when Jesus comes off of the mountain, and by the way, have you ever noticed that when you're like life is going really, really good and you're having this mountaintop experience? I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, everything's going great now. You're filled with faith, you feel close to God, and it's like everything's happening, and all of a sudden you come from the mountaintop right into a mess. When's the last time everything was just going great? Wouldn't it be nice if you could just freeze frame life when it's going good? Just freeze it. It's just like contain all this goodness and make it go as long as possible. But it seems like, you know, everything's going great and then you just plummet into this mess. Could it be that God gives us the good times so we'll have the momentum to get through the hard times? My problem is I'm so busy complaining about, well, I want to live on the mountain where it's good, that I let all the momentum drain away. And then I just get stuck in the mess. So remember, like when you're having good times and you're up on the mountaintop, because you can't always live there. I mean, when those good times are coming, I mean, let that momentum carry you through the hard times because they are coming. And Jesus does that. He just jumps, He just digs in right in the middle of this mess. I mean, he's up on the mountaintop, and then just right into this mess he comes walking into. He's had his father-son time, and now he's going to meet another father and son, and they are in a mess. And they think he can do something. And the religious leaders, they're arguing with the disciples. They're teasing them and taunting him because they can't heal this boy. So write in your notes in the back there, God heals my family. Jesus comes right in the middle of this argument that's going on. The religious people are arguing with the disciples. And really what he does is he stops and he says to the religious leaders, really? I mean, seriously? Do you see this father, how much he's hurting? Do you see this boy? Do you see the mess that they're in? Do you see how desperate this family is? And really, seriously, all you can do is use this as an opportunity to say your religion is right? I mean, that's where he begins in the story. It's when you really screw up your life and somebody from your old religion shows up and says, see, I told you. I told you this was going to happen. I told you if you left, everything was going to fall apart. And after you slap them, and they're just arguing, and Jesus seems like he cuts like right through all of it, and he cuts through it, and he says, bring the boy to me. Which must have been music to this father's ears. He's probably thinking, finally, you know, finally we're going to see Jesus, and things are going to get better, and they don't. There's sort of a spiritual principle that sometimes when you turn to Jesus, well, have you ever noticed like when you turn to Jesus and things don't get better right away and you're like thinking, come on already. I mean, I'm turning to Jesus, I'm trying to get some help here, and it seems like things get worse. I mean, what is this father thinking? I mean, they finally get to approach Jesus and his son is rolling around on the ground and foaming at the mouth and nothing, I mean, it... Have you ever seen anybody in your life and they turn to Jesus and you look at their life and it seems like, whoa, it seems like things are getting worse for them since they've started going to church and trying to like turn to God. And here's why. The enemy will always attack at the beginning. Right when you decide you're going to turn to God and have something go on in your life, right when that occurs, right when it starts, the enemy will always attack to try to scare you and to try to stop you and cause you to believe it'll never happen for me. It always happens at the beginning. So this family, they just turn to God and the demons start freaking out and everything. No, 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 they're going to turn to Jesus. And just know that like when you decide to do something in your life, you decide, me and Jesus are doing that. Do not be surprised if initially it even gets more difficult and crazy. Because there is evil in this world. I mean, there just is. And evil does not want you close to God. And there is a principle. It always happened. It even happened to Jesus in the beginning of his ministry. The devil will always attack right in the beginning. So do not be surprised. Because some people get discouraged. Like, yeah, right, I tried Jesus and look what happened. And so they'll just stop. And of course, the enemy at that point is just like, double thumbs up. And that's what's happening. Is there anything in your life and you've turned to God recently and the truth is it seems like it's gotten a little worse for you? Don't stop because the story isn't over. And I'm sure this father is like trying to figure out what to believe because he takes his son towards Jesus and the next thing you know is his child is knocked down on the ground. And let me just say something to the parents for a moment and the dads. Is there anything more difficult in life than when you see your kids get knocked to the ground? Is that the worst? I mean, when you see your kids and they just get knocked right to the ground. And that's what's going on for this father. It's just like all of a sudden his kid is just on the ground. And Jesus cares about that. In fact, it's interesting in the story. I mean, here's this kid rolling around and gnashing and foaming at his mouth. And the demons are like, you're not going to go. And it's just like this big scene. And Jesus doesn't even seem to acknowledge it. In the story, he turns to the father. I mean, he doesn't even acknowledge what's going on with this kid. He turns to the father and he says to the father, how long have you been having to go through this? Do you know sometimes when you're a parent, you need to be reminded that God cares about you too? And I'm sure everybody watching this thing is going, Jesus, come on already. I mean, do you see what's happening here? I mean, you know, like, get to the business at hand. You know, you're chatting with this dad. I mean, we got a real problem over here with this demon kid. And I get to the business at hand. And Jesus is like, God wants every parent to know sometimes you are the business at hand. He stops and he says to this father, he goes, how long have you had to live this way? And the dad says, a long time. And you know, I don't think that's like calendar days necessarily, because when your kids get knocked to the ground, an hour is a long time. A week is forever. A month is eternity. How long have you had to live like this? If your kids are going through a hard time, could you hear Jesus say to you that you are his business at hand? He wants to remind you that he cares about you too. When your kids are going through really, really hard times. And by the way, if you're a father in here today, you're going to have lots of times that your kids get knocked to the ground. Because think about your own life, how many times you got knocked to the ground. And so you're just, you're going to see it. They're going to get knocked to the ground. And somehow the father must understand what's going on, because he starts out saying, Jesus, Jesus, can you really help my son? Please help my son. And then he changes and he says, Jesus, could you do something for us? So somehow he realizes that the Lord is not just present to help his son. He's there to help the entire family, that he also wants to heal this dad. Because when your children go through hard times, you need healing too. And so now he switches it and he says, I think I need to be healed too. And this last year, I have thought more. I kind of play my cards up front. I've thought. I mean, I like Father's Day the most, because it's the one day of the year that everybody treats me based on the greatness that I wish I had. You know, because I need healing just as much as everybody else. I've done more thinking about my parenting this last year than I ever have. Just, you know, sort of like reflecting on myself as a parent with my two sons. And I have not liked everything I've seen. You know, I see how my own issues has caused me to say certain things to my kids I never should have said, and do things to my kids should have never happened. And even more maddening for me, just because of my own issues, just because who I am, I recognize there's certain things I should have done and I never did them, and there's certain things I should have said and I never said them. And you look back, and I was thinking about it this week, I thought, gosh, it just makes you want to go, damn it. Just like, because sometimes you know you need a little word that has just a little bit more edge to it. It's like, damn, you think, and you're just like, I can't even, you know, and you're just sort of like where this father is. You're just like, dang. You know, you want to do your best, and then you just look back and you realize your best at times was not that great. And it's at those times that you recognize in this story that the father, like, he gets it when he goes to Jesus and says, Jesus, I need healing too. And especially dads go through this, because we always feel like we're the solution to everything. It's hard to be a dad because you're caring about everybody and trying to pull everything together. And sometimes this wave will come over you like, well, does anybody care about me? You know, and then you can start your pity party and that doesn't work. But it's just hard, you know. And you think, a lot of men, if you're like me, you just think to yourself, if I could just get everybody to listen and do it my way, then everything would be great. The world according to me, you know. And like you really think, like if they would just listen to dad, and of course they don't listen to you, you know. And so then you get like hurt and stubborn and discouraged. And really the best way to deal with it is to just go to Jesus and say, okay, it's about us. Because when one person is healed in your family, it's an opportunity for everybody to be healed. Like when one person is being healed, it reveals how everybody needs a healing. But we're oftentimes so focused on the screw-up that needs the healing that we miss our own. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. He knows this boy is rolling around on the ground and everything, but he doesn't let his focus shift. He says, you know what? There's more going on in this family than that. And he talks to the man, and the man finally realizes, I need to be healed too. So we're about halfway done with the talk today, but I want to say a prayer right in the middle of it today because that's what happened here. And so I want to do it for us because he's the only one that can do that type of healing. So if you bow your head for a moment, I'm going to pray for everybody, not just the parents and dads, but we're all parts of family. And so Jesus, it's always amazing to read about you and be with you at the same time. And so we know that you're here right now and that you're doing that you're doing what you always do. That you're present and you're speaking to us, and I ask for healing. Right now I ask for all the dads in the room that are going through difficult times with their kids. And they need a healing. They need a spark of life. They need something from heaven like you got when you were on the mountain from your dad. They need that, Lord. And you're the one that can do it. And I pray they would receive it. I pray for the moms and the parents. And I ask in Jesus' name that you'd bring a healing. And for people in the room today that aren't parents yet, but they've been in families and something has happened, I pray that they would know that you see it and that you care. You know how long they've been going through it. And I pray you'd convince them right now that you love them. And I ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. And I would say, in your name, Jesus, because I want it to be clear that I'm praying to him. I'm just not talking up into the air. And I say amen because that word means so be it. And so it's like my way of saying, you know, it's like, this is how I want it to be, God. And now you take it from there. Now, here's the second thing in your notes. God hears my prayers. And you think, well, where's the prayer in this story? Nobody's praying. Well, anytime you talk to God, you're praying. So, I mean, you can pray on your knees, you can pray in the dark, you can pray on a bicycle, you can pray in your car, you can be in a hot air balloon and be talking to God. I mean, anytime you're talking to God, you're praying. And so this is prayer going on here, and he's talking to God. And he's got this really, it's difficult for him because he's not sure what to believe. And let me say to you, when your kids are knocked to the ground or somehow their life gets jacked up or they jack their life up, it will cause you to believe things about yourself. Or just when your kids are difficult. When one of my sons was in kindergarten, we went to a concert. And in this concert, they had a stage up front, and all the kids were up there. And they were going to sing. You know, they're going to sing some songs for all the parents. You know, and we didn't have one of the cameras in those days, but my friends had a camera. So they were going to bring the camera and film all the kids singing. Because their kid was in it too. Now, my son, usually, gosh, really well behaved and no big deal in class and everything, and everything's fine. I've never been ever through anything where I was embarrassed. But for some reason, at this concert, he decides to like take a stupid pill. I mean, he's like up on the stage and he's not singing and he's poking people. And then you hear people in the crowd whispering, who's that little rascal? Whose kid is that? And I'm like, I don't know. Someone should do something, you know? And he's like doing all kinds of things. And then the craziest things, you know, the guy in front, he's doing a basic, you know, stand up. They all stand up, sit down. It's very impressive, all these kindergartners. Except for my son, when he goes, stand up. My son just keeps sitting and laughing. And he has that look that kids get on their face when they look at you and they know you can't do anything right now. You know that look? You know that look. You know, it's like, and you're thinking, and you send your look back, but I will be soon. You know, you send that look back, you know, and that's like nonverbal communication going on. And then you just find out who has the stronger will. Well, that day he does. He sends me the look back, says, but I'm going to enjoy it while I can. You know, he's just like screwing up. He's not, and my friend's filming the whole thing on the camera, laughing. And I just turned to him and said, could you just turn it off? Because that's not, you know. And I was embarrassed. That wasn't like he had a demon. He wasn't smoking pot. He wasn't freaking out or anything. But he was just like, you know, I mean, you know how kids, ADD, XP, or whatever the initials are that they go by nowadays. I mean, they just freak out, and you're watching them. And you start to believe things about yourself. And that's the danger. Do you know your kids can go through things that are just very, very normal as they grow up, and the next thing you're believing things about yourself? Oh, my God, what kind of a parent am I? They're going to go to prison. You know, you're freaking. What is it you believe about yourself today that you never used to until something happened with your children? What did you used to believe about yourself that you no longer do because of something your kids are going through? And that happens right out of they come out of the womb. And guess what? It never stops. You will always have to speak to yourself. Do you know what's really happening here? Is this guy's having a face-to-face with Jesus. I mean, that's what's happening. I mean, being a parent can mess with your head. And he's having a face-to-face with Jesus. Jesus is taking time to have a face-to-face with him. Because this father's not sure what to believe about his family, his son. He's not sure what to believe about God. And he's not sure what to believe about himself. And sometimes we never really know for sure what to believe about ourselves until we have a face-to-face with Jesus. We're not sure. Something happens in our family. Something, it can even be other family people. You know, you've seen it. I mean, something happens, it's not even your family. It's another, like part of your family. And you're like, oh, I can't believe they're doing this. Well, what does that mean about them? And this man has this face-to-face with Jesus. It's a face-to-face conversation. And he says, if you loved me, God, if you love my family, well, I mean, I know you love my family. Obviously, you love my family. But you let my son go through a lot of things, God. And I'm not sure what I'm supposed to believe. And one thing about Jesus, he always appreciates an honest prayer. He says to him, well, everything's possible for him who believes. Have you ever had him answer a prayer before and you're not quite sure? Everything's possible for him who believes. And this father, he automatically assumes that what Jesus is saying is it's your fault. If you believed more and if you believed better, then your family wouldn't be in this mess and your kid wouldn't be rolling around in the dirt. If you were a better father, if you had a better belief, because everything's possible if you just would believe more. And of course, it's normal that this guy would sort of interpret that way because he's been hanging around all the religious people all of his life. And listen, the religious people will always, their solution is always the same. You have problems, work more, do better, work more, do better, work more, do better. And you're like, it's not working though, nothing's changing. Well, then work more and do better and do better and work more. And this guy's saying, I'm exhausted, man. I'm exhausted. I've been working. But what if the him that Jesus is talking about is not the dad? And what if it's not us? I mean, think about the conversation. I mean, this man says to him, he says, well, you know, if you can do something, Jesus. And Jesus says, if I can do something, well, everything's possible with me. Because I always believe. What if Jesus is saying to this man, it's not about you? What if he's actually saying, what if the him is himself? What if the him is Jesus? What if he's saying is everything is possible with me because I always believe? What if Jesus is talking about himself? What if he wants you and me? What if he wanted this man in this story to walk away and go, man, the times that I just can't believe anymore, I need to turn to him. What if the times he's like, I don't know what to do with my family. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to believe anymore. I don't know. What if he's hoping the man says, but I better turn to him. What if Jesus is saying there's going to be lots of times in your life that you won't be able to believe more and better? And that's when we need to turn to him. Where are you beating yourself up at? And it's normal. Because you're like, gosh, because you're right, you could have done better. And what if Jesus is saying, whenever you get to that place, you need to turn to Him. Because everything is possible for him who believes. And Jesus says, I always can believe for your family. And it's the good news in your notes. Jesus makes everything possible. The boy looks so much like a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet and he stood up. I have a little experience in this area. I know what it is to really tie one on in life and really tear it up. And then when you finally sort of get your life going the right direction, you sort of look like you're dead. You know, all the life that you've been living, the things that you've been doing, I mean, you stop, but they have taken their toll and you sort of look dead. And, you know, people say that too. And families say that about other families. Look at them, all the stuff that they're doing. Look at the kind of crap that they've been into. Look at how dead they look. Don't listen to it. Listen to him. Jesus walks over. This is, to me, the best part of the story. When you look like you're dead, and Jesus walks over and takes you by the hand and lifts you to your feet in front of everybody, boy, that's when you get to go, neener, neener, neener. I mean, you know, honestly, like when Jesus walks up, when everybody else is, look at that dead life, look at how dead they look over there, and he walks up and he lifts you to your feet, and you get to say, guess who's not dead? Where do you feel like your family's dying? Now listen. You'll need Jesus to come and take you by the hand and raise you to your feet. It will have to be Him. It'll have to be. So I want to say a prayer, but first grab your connection cards, if you would, and look on the back. And we do this all the time. We fill out different things to help us get started. There's a couple there on your left-hand side. Jesus, help me believe. And then you can just fill in a blank there. And then Jesus, heal my. What do you need to say to him? And there's other things you can put, prayer requests, and there's places to volunteer off to the right there. Everything we do in here is all volunteer stuff. We're all volunteering. And let me give you a snapshot. In the fall, we hope to lease someplace that's bigger than here because obviously it's too small and it's hard with the music and everything. And so we're going to try to lease someplace out here in West Valley that'll be permanent. We can leave our stuff all up and we can stay out there and it's going to be really awesome. But people come in here and they set this up every single week. And so I want to thank one person in particular because this is a very difficult place to get the sound right. And we have Samantha comes in every weekend, runs the sound, tries to get it just perfect. So it's going to embarrass her, but I'm just going to ask if you'd give it up and give her a nice clap and thank you in the back, Samantha. Very nice. And just one of the many volunteers that rock this place every week. And so if you want to help out with that, you can put it on the card. But I know that this kind of talk pushes buttons. I know it does because you're either a kid or you're a parent. And really what the talk about today is him. That's what it all really comes down to in this story. Jesus comes off the mountaintop and he walks into the middle of this mess. And he's probably thinking, what he's probably understanding, he's probably reflecting in just a moment. He goes, you know, it was just a few hours ago that I had to be lifted to my feet. I wasn't sure if I could go through the cross, and I didn't know if the people around me were going to be able to take the church forward. And everybody, he knows everybody's going to leave him, and his family's going to deny even being with him, and his friends are going to run off, and he's going to be betrayed, and he's going to hang up there, and people are going to laugh at him, and it's going to hurt like hell, and he's not going to know if the ministry's going to work, and is the church going to crash, and he's going through all of that on this mountain. It's all, I hear it all comes at me. It's all coming at me. And Jesus is thinking all that. And all, God just says, I love you. And it all drains away. And now here he is with another father. He's probably thinking just like that. And so he understands what it's like when you have to go over. And Jesus raises you to your feet. Because he just went through it. And today is ready to raise you to yours. So if I can say a prayer and then the musicians will come, we'll collect the cards and we'll collect, we receive giving today. And so here we go, I'm going to say a prayer. God, please receive our giving today as a way of saying that we worship you and love you. And as we hear this story today, it pushes buttons in our heart, Lord. It makes us cry and tear up, and it gives us hope, and it also makes us think about stuff that isn't easy to think about. And you're with us. You told the man in the story, everything is possible for him who believes, and you're the him. You didn't put it back on this dad. You didn't put it back on him. Do more, do better. You're the him. You're the one that everything is possible because of you. And as we sing this song, Lord, I pray it goes deep into our souls, our hearts, our spirits. I even ask, Holy Spirit, that you would take it there. Because we're just people, and we need him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, well, thanks again for being here. Sing one last song, and here comes the ushers.